Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit 1 per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Is it a crisis? Hi, I'm Jarvis Smith, and my new show, Lean Into Clean, will inspire, impress, and inform. What can we all do to clean up our lives so the next generations and, of course, our beautiful planet can thrive? Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus, and restore the natural way so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. Thank you for joining us. We are 7 days away from Christmas. I hope you guys are all prepared. I don't know about you, but it seems to have been the most hectic week of children's parties and all of these things that we get to do as parents of young children. My daughter, who's 7, Vivi, has a better social life than I do. That is absolutely for sure. She had 3 parties to attend over the weekend. So I hope you're managing to keep up with that as well. Well, as you know, we always start with a bit of news. And today's news on the show, I wanted to highlight something that I think is very poignant and very much in our consciousness at the moment. And it's to do with, as you know, last week was COP28, which is the climate conference. It's also to do with the conflicts that are happening around the world. And just to be thinking about the people that are affected by these conflicts, whatever side you are taking, we still need to honour the fact that there are conflicts and send love out to the world. And I think one of the most important things about everything that's going on at the moment is the inequality in gender. So I wanted to highlight this story that we put out on mygreenpod.com earlier in the week. The headline is Women Affected by Conflict Are Key to Building Climate Resilience. Now, there is an organization called Women for Women International, and it calls for their meaningful inclusion. And this happened to be at COP28. Now, I just want to read some of this out, and you can go and find the full story at mygreenpod.com, of course. But climate justice, gender equality, and peace are deeply interconnected. Around the world, climate crisis and conflicts are on the rise, and it is women and girls who are disproportionately impacted. And in order to develop meaningful, sustainable, and inclusive solutions, leaders must listen to them. Now, I'm sure you'll agree there is a complete imbalance when it comes to major decision making, particularly at the higher levels of leadership and corporate entities. So I just want to flag this. It's Women for Women International. And this particular program manager, Kevin Murti Khan, who's based in Iraq, she said, and this is a report that was released to coincide with Relief, Recovery and Peace Day at COP28, which was on December the 3rd. She said, the most climate vulnerable communities are also some of the most affected by conflict and economic insecurity. Communities that have contributed the least to climate crisis. By elevating the voices, priorities and solutions of the often overlooked groups of women we support, we want to highlight these intersecting impacts of climate change, conflict and gender equality. but women are frequently excluded from participating in the decision-making processes that impact their lives. Only by including the perspectives of women and the realities of their daily life can we create meaningful and sustainable solutions to the climate crisis. So I'm flagging that just to bring it into our collective awareness. And I will add that there is an SDG number 5, which is actually all about gender equality. And I remember when I did some work with the UN at COP26, which was the COP that happened in Glasgow, one of the biggest issues of the time was the fact that there were not enough women at the decision-making tables in order to bring in perhaps a new way or a different way of doing things. And it's that classic Einstein statement: we perhaps cannot fix a problem with the same thinking that caused it. So I'm just going to put that out there. I want to honor all of the women in the world and all of the men. It's not just a gender division here. It's about equality. And any ways that you guys can support Women for Women International, please do. You can find the story, you can connect, and maybe, just try and work out, you know, why, if you're a woman, why you've got a voice in a country that allows you to do so, and why in other countries, you know, the women don't have voices, and then how we can perhaps build bridges and support that. So that's my little soapbox moment for this week. It brings me very, very nicely, not connected at all, but brings me very, very nicely to today's guest. Today's guest is, well, a pioneer, a very wise individual that runs an organization called Camplight. And what Camplight do is they offer alternative experiences and solutions at festivals. And I'm sure many of us are thinking over this Christmas period which festivals we're going to be participating in for 2024. So, Kira, I'd like to welcome you to Lean Into Clean. Thank you for joining us. I'm really looking forward to speaking with you, particularly after reading your bio. So welcome to Lean Into Clean, Kieran.
Hello, Jarvis. Hello, listeners. Thank you very much for inviting me. It's a great honour.
It's an absolute pleasure. Now, look, just so everybody can get to know you, if we had your best friend sitting here, whether that be partner, mother, friend, whatever, what would they say as a way of introducing you to us? So I want you to speak from the third person. What would your best friend say about you?
Oh, dear. I don't know. Many things, perhaps, Jarvis. Maybe quite energetic. A lot of people are calling me ADHD recently.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you attach yourself with that? Do you own that?
Well, I'm not so sure, actually. I feel like I'm quite focused, but it is, at the end of the day, very fashionable to be a bit neurodiverse at the moment. So I've actually bought the book by Gabor Mate, or Scattered Minds. Chatting to one of a fantastic event manager who used to run Shambhala for us, Avril, and she actually read this book and was diagnosed with ADHD, and I think it's allowed her to kind of change her approach a little bit to life, because it can be quite paralysing, I believe, and make it a bit difficult to move forward. Trying to consider everything.
Yeah.
Maybe is it right brain thinking or open and we watched an RS Animate, fantastic one on YouTube that explained left and right. Reductionist being the left brain and the right brain actually being open. And I don't know if ADHD is actually just which way you kind of go, you know?
Yeah.
Whether
yeah.
you're left wing, right wing, left brain, right brain, dominant. We all have a dominant hand. I am right-handed. I don't know if that means I'm right-brained. Certainly being open, open-minded, maybe. I don't know if it's... I actually know very little about ADHD. That's why I bought the book.
We're going to have to get you back on the show once you've read the book to see if actually it's answered any questions for you. But thank you for being so honest. I mean, look, my wife tells me that all men are on the spectrum, so I think you know, welcome to the club, mate. Is the first thing.
Yeah, exactly. I knew we'd get on. We're both on the all on the spectrum. Yeah, quite. Yeah. Right.
And please, listeners, please excuse me. I do have a bit of a cough. I'm post kind of a COVID-y bronchitis-y type thing that's lingering, but I do feel fine. I've just got this awful cough, so sorry if I cough occasionally. Okay, Kieran, let's get into Gambler.
I'll just if you start coughing, don't worry, I'll just continue spouting off some
thank you
topic.
Thank you very much. Well, let's get into Camplight. First of all, give us an overview of your role within Camplight and what Camplight is and what it does. What's its function?
Camplight. Yes, Camp Light, Travel Light, Sleep Tight is one of our slogans. And just to put it together, the other slogan was Festival Tents for Festival People. I think I'll start with that one because that's exactly what they are. Mm-hmm. The purpose of Camp Light is to clear up events and offer people more sustainable travel and less rubbish solutions, i.e. the tents that we use have already been salvaged. So they are safe from landfill, safe from other disaster, you know, I mean, landfill or incineration, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Which neither are really beneficial to the environment. They just cost less. And that's the purpose, that we save those tents. We then, being a bit ADHD about this, there's many solutions. It was designed to solve. Buckminster Fuller is a man who said to solve many problems with a single solution is the goal of sustainable design, not simply to solve a single problem.
Yeah.
Whenever you solve a single problem, you build up problems in other places.
Yeah.
It's what I began to see. So Camp Light solves the problem of waste for our clients at festivals, the wonderful festivals who accommodate us. And due to that, or with that help, we can accommodate their guests to make their festival look more sustainable because they care. Yeah. And the guest can benefit from the last two parts of the other statement, which is Camp Light, Travel Light, Sleep Tight.
Great. So it's really, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. I do want to find out your role in it as well. But just to put this from my understanding. So really, it's a solution to those people that want to go to festivals that tend to buy, you know, the last minute kind of probably relatively cheap stuff, take it and just kind of, you know, single use type stuff, leave it behind and kind of get on with their business. So you've really got a solution for that where people can simply turn up and have a bit more of a glamping experience. Is that kind of...
Well, glamping was a term which was around in 2012 when I started, and it's still now a really known term. It's catchy, you know, it's a good term.
It is. I like a good glamp.
It's a great term. And I thought, well, glamping's taken care of. You know, there's fantastic companies out there doing incredible things that I really couldn't do, like putting hot tubs and swimming pools and raised beds with big pillows and mattresses and very nicely formed sort of rooms with carpets and lampshades.
Light
falls just perfectly as you walk in. But naturally, of course, people pay for that.
Yeah,
and that is a social, you know, that if you're very wealthy and you have the money to do that, great, go and do that.
Yeah,
not a problem. Then at the other end of the spectrum are people who don't have enough money. In fact, they might not even get to go away, and they use a festival as a break.
Yes, because,
a festival certainly is a break. It's an opportunity to step into another world.
Yeah.
In fact, the fantastic festival that started the first gig I did in 2012 was Camp Light at Sunrise Festival, and I'm pretty sure it was Sunrise who actually began to make at the door a kind of they made their security search like going through the airport, and you'd put your bag on the scanner and go through and you'd get patted down. You know, they made a whole thing out of that. So you were entering into another world, and I think they called it Sunrise, Another World. Just like Shambhala have done with Utopia, but they reinvent their world, and Boomtown reinvent their world all the time.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, I played at Sunrise. I played at quite a lot of the festivals, actually, in my signed recording artist band days.
Brilliant.
Sunrise, I remember it very well because it was one of my most, it was just a brilliant, brilliant festival. But one of the things I always recall, as you say, you step into another world, and then it's trying to take that other world back to the other, you know, back to your real world, quote unquote. And yeah. I always wanted to take a little bit of that festival back out into the, you know, into the normal world that I was living in. And it, I always felt it as a bit of a challenge, like a bit of a kind of process. So, okay, so look.
That'll be a hangover.
Just tell me about your role at Camp Light. What's your
Well, thank you. Just to finish that, it was actually, I have to quote Michael Eavis, who said, why do people come to Glastonbury Festival? And he said, well, to have a good time.
Yeah.
He didn't say, because they love camping. He didn't say, you know, because... other reasons like that. It was because they want to have a good time. So the tent and where they stay, that's an afterthought.
Yeah.
You see, so people buy a people on that lower end of the income end of the spectrum. There's many spectrums we could talk about, but income being one. They want to go and see the artists they want to see. That's why, and they want to have a good time with their friends. They don't necessarily love camping or want to camp, but they have no choice because it's an effect. So that's why I believe that's one of these sort of root issues of why people leave their stuff, because actually they never have to.
You're right. It's not like going off to whoa campsite where you're actually deliberately going to for a camping experience. You're going for a musical experience often, or food, or whatever the festival might be about. And the sleeping is just, you know, par for the course. Yeah, that's a very, very, very good point. Why? I remember there was that year at Glastonbury. I think it was the year, don't quote me on the actual number of the year, but it was the year when they had torrential rain. The whole site turned into a mud fest. You know, people were getting stuck left, right and centre. I think it was the worst year that people had left behind the most gear, the most tents and sleeping bags and all of that stuff. Wasn't that around the time that Camp Light became quite... quite known in the consciousness of festivals? Have I got that right?
I couldn't say exactly, because there's been so many years.
Yeah, fair. Fair enough.
There's been so many. And Camp Lights got into we started with Glastonbury 2013, and it was fantastically grew there for 5 years, faster than anything, and because of that help, that actually has meant that Camp Light can still exist now.
Are you still involved in Glastonbury? Is it still one of your major?
I'm still involved. I'm actually from Glastonbury, so it's in my heart. You know, I'll always be involved in one way or another. I love the Green Futures Field and Croissant Nerf, of course. Yeah. Big Sally and everyone who runs that area. Yeah. Thanks for letting us camp with her. Last year, we put up some tents for Croissant Neuf for Sally. And the year before, and the 3 years prior to that, we actually put up tents for Showforce, who ran the pyramid stage. I mean, ran in like, they didn't, they provided the force, the boys, the lads, and the women. Yeah. They did have more women on their. On their workforce, actually, latter years. And we put up separate tents, of course, for them. Everyone had a separate compartment. So that was something that I did personally that actually wasn't Camp Light, because what's happened to me and my purpose is that I've become Mr. Tent. You know, I was here in Camp Light for many years, and now I'm like Mr. Tent. Do you want to fit a tent? Do you want to put up a tent? Do you want tents put up for you? Do you want advice on tents? Do you want to design tents? Do you want to manufacture tents? Do you want to make them circular? That my interest is, well, I think that's sort of left brain thinking, maybe the sort of reductionalist in an amazing fractal world that we live in, is the more that you look at something, the more it opens up. And that's what my tents have done. Just this is what Camplight has led to Pitched for You, has led to me just doing work for other clients, be it the Hearthworks or the Pop-Up Hotel or all these other sort of glamping companies as well.
Yeah, great. Okay, lovely.
What was the
Listen, we need
question?
to, Kieran, sorry to stop you there. I
Not at
know
all.
I want to come back to this, but it's nice just
I need to do that.
to
Yeah.
we've got to cut to commercial break. It's UK Health's time just to speak about their stuff. So, hold tight. I'll be back to you in just a minute.
The station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, Kieran. Welcome back. So sorry to interrupt you there. Now, when I read your bio, there was lots of things that stood out to me, and we can't cover them all. But the circular economy aspect of to what you're doing, we had Rebecca from TentShare on the show not so long ago, and she it was actually her that inspired me to reach out to you. She tells me that I think to quote you were the kind of king, as you said, the king of tents. Or Mr. Ten, but also the circular economy aspects of what you were doing was just so advanced, so ahead of the curve, so to speak. Just tell me what does circular economy mean to you? Like what actually is it for those that might not actually fully understand that term?
Well, it's a big question because economy implies like money, but where I've come into my interest in circular economy is through resources or waste. And it's about we live in, or since the industrial boom, we've been, our economy has been kind of shifting things from one place to another. And there, or else, and then maybe to another place where they are dealt with after they are become waste. So before the Industrial Revolution, waste didn't necessarily exist in the same way. If you look at the Mayans in 2012, actually the year I started Camplight, I did travel over there to pay homage, just in case the world was going to end. I thought, well, I'll end it where it counts, and
But 2012 was that?
that was 2012, wasn't it? The end of the Mayan calendar, or the end of the world, according to somebody on the internet. But so I went over there and I've learned a little bit about their farming techniques and the way that they existed. And I think they wanted to build these pyramids because actually, apart from that, they didn't leave much writing. I might be wrong with this, I'm not a historian. They didn't leave much writing. But what I want to draw your attention to is that their landfills, now there's actually a name for this, a certain name that what were their landfill sites, are actually today, there's a certain name for this. It's like God's soil. or something like that. They are the most fertile and rich soils on the planet. Most of them are under the, well, what was the rainforest over there. Because their farming techniques and their waste disposal techniques, basically everything was biodegradable, even bones, stones are non-toxic. You know, they were like whole foods, I suppose. Everything was like a whole food, and it is all was all nutrients, and they put those in one place, and they were just biodegraded and turned into the most wonderful humus.
Yeah.
I think that's a fancy term for soil, isn't it?
Yes, yes, yeah.
On the planet, literally on the planet. There, and we, I don't say we as in there as Blair, well, you know, the West sort of went over there, dominated, and there was gold and there was disease and there was guns and there was all sorts of stuff that went on that I don't need to get into, and whether it was right or wrong, but... You know, our kind of advanced civilization, in inverted in quotes, went over there and dominated. But what we lost was terrible. You know, what I mean is what we lost in terms of their farming techniques, their agricultural techniques, the way they dealt with waste, because there was not really waste until we created it. Waste is a human invention.
Yeah.
And this is the reason I got into this early is because a friend of mine gave me a book called Cradle to Cradle.
Yeah.
And what I've been describing about the non-circular economy is since the Industrial Revolution, we began to move more and more things into another place and another place whereby they cannot be returned easily. And that produces new problems and that produces toxins because actually, everything we move around, everything that the Mayans moved around were nutrients. But when you render something into a non-biodegradable form and then move it somewhere else, even to a country where they don't have a way to deal with it, then it becomes a poison and a pollutant. So the basis, I suppose the short end to your answer is we've been living in cradle to grave. And perhaps that even has something to do with the way that we have viewed what the dominant religions on this planet have been, because we believe we die. And then we, I don't want to get into that, but we go to a place, maybe heaven or hell if we were naughty. But cradle to grave becomes cradle to cradle. And the wonderful opening to the Cradle to Cradle book. This is the book I would recommend everyone in the entire world try and read and understand. Mind you, of course, not everyone needs to understand it. It's circular. It's cradle to cradle. It's a cycle. It's the key to sustainability and infinity. It's written by William McDonoghue and Michael Braungart. The copy that I have is actually written on plastic. I.e. they've reinvented the book into something that can be washed and recycled infinitely. Like I actually washed, they actually washed the ink off the pages and then reprint the book.
Wow.
But so what I was going to say, in the, if I open up the book onto remaking the way we make things is their slogan. But what they say, and it was Paul Capel, who I think you know, who used to run
Cat's Cradle. I do indeed, Cat's Cradle, yeah.
And has been a fantastic influence to me. And he actually also is forward-thinking and runs Cradle to Cradle Marketplace, who only sell Cradle to Cradle certified items.
Mm-hmm.
He said this to me for the first time. So we used to talk at like Sunrise and Waveform and Off-Grid in about circular economy 10 years ago. This is the statement: to our families and to all of the children of all species for all time.
Mm.
To the health, to the credibility, we will design our world for all families of all species of all time. I mean, That sums it up. That's what cradle to cradle is. We're creating the cradle for our children. We're not creating a grave for them.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Love that. As you know, we always ask our guests to come with a couple of songs in their back pocket, songs that mean things to them, songs that might be a soundtrack to this thing we're calling a climate crisis or to the soundtrack to your life. So just tell us about the first song that you've chosen. Tell us the name of the song and the artist. We'll play the song, and then afterwards we'll you can tell me why you chose it.
Brilliant, thank you. It's No Such Thing as Waste by the Formidable Vegetable Sound System. I believe the one you might have is actually a remix of it. It's a really good track. The Formidable Vegetable Sound System, I've only ever seen them at festivals, so I thought it was fitting.
Are these the guys that literally play, they tune their vegetables and fruits into instruments? Is that the guys?
You know what? I don't know. I don't know if they're still around, but honestly, when you asked me about this and I thought, oh yeah, that's the guys, Formidable. And I went on Spotify, and now of course everything's there in the ether. And they're fantastic. There's some great tracks on there, not just this one. There's great tracks, yeah.
Great. But let's hear the song, and then you can tell me how it makes you feel at the end and why you chose it. Thanks, Kieran. Here we are.
Thanks, Josh.
No, there's no such thing as waste. Misusing water's a disgrace.
I love that song. It brings a real smile to my heart. Such a vibe. So, Kieran, tell us why you chose that, and you know, literally how it makes you feel.
Wow, such a vibe, isn't it? I mean, that's it. I completely. I see you smiling. Listen to it. I mean, the lyrics, the knowledge that is summed up. I mean, that's what's wonderful about art. You know, like, yeah, sure, we can put out a complex story. We can write pages and pages about the resource economy, about the economy, about waste management. But when you can sum that up into 3 minutes of pure bliss and make it sound amazing and then drop in a bit of a dubstep beat in there as well,
yeah,
you're like, this is so talented. I only know the Formidable Vegetable Sound System from their name there. I don't. You must get him on, you know. Well, but he's obviously a great brain, and he's you know, obviously studied so much. I mean, their name is well thought through. The Formidable Vegetable Sound System, in a time where we're trying to eat less meat. So much about that song just fills me with joy. And it's his activism that he says, I used to go and find vegetable oil from, you know, the old chip fryer on the corner. And I love to do that, but it kind of gives me the energy to go, well, actually, because we never really got onto my purpose in Camp Light, but I started it because it was me and a van and like all this waste that was going to be waste around the place. And I was like, well, I can't stand it, you know. People, I could see an opportunity, but I had to just go and do it, you know. That's even, you know, just to not stagnate and actually to go and you know, get on with the solution. And I saw the solution, and I wasn't necessarily even allowed. One thing I absolutely held high is that these tents and camping equipment I'm collecting, they were not waste. They were not rubbish, because the government would tell you, oh, you need a permit to deal with. I said, yeah, but they're not rubbish, because there's no such thing as waste. Because I mean, I'm the last person who can begin to admit that it's waste. Otherwise, if I begin to admit that I'm waste, then I've lost the mental battle of being able to actually know what I was doing was saving a resource. And the fantastic line in what he says is, there's no such thing as waste, just a resource out of place. Well, that's exactly what the point of the, you know, I see actually, you know, I did engineering, and there's the entropy is that, you know, entropy is the like eternal Over time, we lead to chaos. You know, things tend towards chaos over time. That's the measure of entropy of a system. And I kind of see a little bit of our success on human beings is actually to try and reverse entropy and actually put things in useful places. It's a bit of a tenuous sort of line of thought, because it depends. You could peel it many ways, but that's the complexity of life, isn't it? It's difficult. But anyway, I think I've gone off on enough about that. Feel great, Jarvis. It makes me feel great, and I'm just inspired. Yeah,
brilliant. Well, it's a good choice. I think our listeners will agree with you there. I mean, no, I like your trail of thought. I mean, it strikes me that you are, you know, you're what's described as a blue sky thinker. You think kind of away from the, you know, the very, very kind of mundane paradigm that many people live in, and you explore, you know, the other realms, the other ways of doing things, you know, the old ways, the sacred ways, and combining that with the new ways. And, you know, you talk about left and right, and, you know, it strikes me that you are an incredibly complex character. And I think that's a beautiful thing, because eccentricity has been lost in our country. And I don't mean that negatively at all. I mean that as a great rare quality that we need to empower and bring back to this great, great country and this great world and this great way of being. So, no, thank you for being that. Thank you, really, genuinely. I know we didn't really nail down the purpose, and I know you've loosely talked about it, and we are going to have to go to a commercial break in a couple of minutes, but just define to me today's purpose. What would you say your purpose is today? Because I'm sure that's evolved.
Oh, my purpose. I wanted to actually come and really to talk with you about the power of. It was great you were talking about feminism before, because I think I wanted to talk about Cradle to Cradle and about the cycle, about the circle as the key. Because I was saying the nutrient flows in Mayan cultures all went straight back into the land. They were all became nutrients to feed the planet, and they made the most healthy lands on the planet known still to this day. What we these days, our cradle to grave, has led to literally a grave of toxic pollutants, which we've capped them over and done great things with them, you know, in the same way that quarries, you know, they can make a nice thing out of a quarry afterwards, but ultimately there was a huge amount of diversity there before you started digging, and now there's a big hole in the ground, well, with not many native species, but that, of course, nature will fill in. Yeah, it's about the cycle. It's about the cycle of life. And the biomimetics is before we made industry, actually everything was cycled back. That's the way nature works. The earth goes around the sun and the moon goes around the earth, as does our heartbeat in a cycle, as our pulse, as the blood. It all, the cycle is the only way, the sacred way, to sustainability, and hence infinity.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Let me stop you there. We need to cut to a commercial break, but we are going to come back to this, because this is really poignant stuff, and I definitely like to share certainly my perspective on it. But we'll cut to a break. I'll see you in a second, Kieran.
Lovely, thank you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. livewithchampion.com.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Kieran, welcome back, welcome back. This is Lean Into Clean. For those that have just tuned in, I'm talking to Kieran from Camp Light. We're in the discussions at the moment about circles and what circles mean to us, i.e. cradle-to-cradle circular economy, old ways of doing things, old systems that used to take into consideration before and after all at the same time. So there was no linear, there was no beginning or end, it just was. Kieran, I like you, I'm very kind of connected to the ancient ways. You talked about the Mayan ways and particularly the richness of the soil there, because they understood I think the laws of nature, the natural processes, the way that nature can thrive. And I think that's what we've lost in our modern culture and a modern world is enabling everything to thrive. But I've been using these lines, and I just wondered what you think about it. I've been using this line kind of instead of, people talk about business and pillars of business, or, the different pillars, I think, is a very common one. And then we've kind of gone into this kind of, well, we need to be circular. We need to be, allowing everything to just continue to flow. And then it got me thinking about multidimensionality and actually spirals. So I've been using the term spirals a lot because it is this circular moment, but it is also this multidimensionality of, the different levels, if you like, of a, if you look at a circular from, from a drone, yes, it looks like a circle. But if you look at it multidimensionally, it could be this kind of spiral. So I've really got into that. And then it brings me to DNA and it brings me to evolution. And it brings me to...
Yes.
So I know you're the kind of person that I can probably have a conversation with about this. We need to try and not lose ourselves too much because we don't want to lose listeners. But what do you think about spirals? What do you think about the new paradigm and the evolution of spirals in our consciousness?
Well, it's an almost an infinite question. But there's the trick. I was totally woken up and excited, but I could not sleep that night. I recently watched a documentary on Netflix. Hopefully I'm allowed to say it. It was called A Trip to Infinity. For starters, the logo for infinity is an 8 on its side.
Well, a lemniscate, yeah.
Oh, is it? Oh, right. That's the actual term, is it?
That's what its correct term is called, lemniscate. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, that of course is a cycle. That's not a straight line. A line has a beginning and end. It is the beginning. And anciently, that would be resembled by a snake eating its own tail.
Yes.
The Celts, you can get Celtic rings, where the snake's eating its own tail. And those symbols are paying homage to the nature. To nature. Full stop. And the way that nature works.
Yeah.
Maybe lost that a little bit. But the reason I mentioned this trip to infinity, not only is it because it talks about infinity and you can only really consider infinity. I think that obviously the program explains this far better than I do. Now, there was the other thing, and I want to bring this back to what you're saying about the DNA, because there's a little bit of thought in me that wonders whether, because... the particle and the wave, and we were kind of here at a moment where we don't know Schrodinger's cat, is the cat there until someone witnesses it there, or the particle, I'm going to get lost in this, the particle and the wave, this is dangerously infinite territory My toes getting cold as they're dangling over infinity, you know, in space and time. But I was, I in fact, I was so excited to see for the first time that if you imagine that spiral, i.e. the wave, that the waves are emanating from the sun, all frequencies, and they, or the way they, you know, you can imagine like the waves are coming over the sea. But when those waves, so the fantastic thing I learned in engineering science is that radiation can be, there's three things we know about radiation, what happens to it. It's either emitted, reflected, or absorbed, in which case it's immediately readmitted. In fact, the emission is emitted, absorbed, or what do you call it? It goes through. It's the radiation goes straight through matter and to some matter behind it, or it's absorbed by the matter and immediately re-emitted.
Yeah,
or it is simply reflected.
Yeah,
And hence we got this kind of big scientific debate going on about the how the Earth responds to the radiation from the sun, the incoming radiation.
Yeah,
how I'm trying to relate to this is I did ponder for a long time whether our DNA somehow harnesses particular frequencies of this radiation in the helix, you know, and whether we somehow extract consciousness from the sun or from the web of life, which because the interesting thing about those three things in radiation that I mentioned is that it doesn't ever say there's a beginning or an end. It only says radiation is only either emitted, reflected, or transmitted. That's it.
Yeah, transmitted. Yeah, yeah.
Never talks about the source. I mean, the source of the radiation in for us is the sun. And I think I wanted to talk about the laws of sustainability because I got really into this. But I risk my ADHD brain jumping to something else now. But yeah, just to complete what you were saying is the you know, the particle or the wave. Well, in Trip to Infinity, for the first time ever, I used to want to make a big art piece out of this. I wanted to show that the wave is the particle. Just depends who's looking at it. Do you remember, you know what an oscilloscope is? You see it, science.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Remember you turn up the rate of the oscilloscope till it's going whizzing across the little dots, whizzing across the screen. It looks like a straight line.
Yes.
And you can't see the dot anymore, just the straight line, unless you just. And I know other people have said this. Sergio, my friend Sergio at school, also said, but you can see the dot if you like. If you just you glance at it, and suddenly you can see the dot. Your eye, your brain will pick up the dot just for the moment, but then it's of course gone because you can't keep up with the rate, with the cycle rate that's going on there.
Yeah.
So, particle or wave. Well, might just depend upon our viewpoint, our perception of it. And, of course, we live in a material world where everything's particles, but there's these waves, and I'm just fascinated by it anyway.
Yeah, well, I am too. And I think it's extraordinary that you brought this conversation up. And, you know, there is another whole few hours conversation here, which we don't have time for. But just this morning, I run a kind of meditation group with some business leaders as part of a community. I've been doing it for years. And just this morning, we were very much focused on the sun emitted one of the largest solar flares that we've known about on Thursday or Friday last week. And it actually reached our planet yesterday and today. So the very consciousness of what you're saying now is very, very much alive. And I truly believe, like you, that the sun emits frequencies to shift consciousness on this planet, within us, within DNA, within life, within et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing that you've just talked about that, because it's very, very much in tune with, I believe, what's happening astrologically. Brilliant. As we speak. I'm going to go to your second tune. because we are running out of time. This show goes so quickly.
So easily talk on, couldn't we?
I know. Well, you know, that's the beauty of it. But we're going to play your second tune. We'll come back and you can then just leave any reflective thoughts. But tell us about your second song.
Well, this is by the fantastic Kitty Stewart from Bournemouth. She's a ukulele. She's a singer, she's a songwriter, and she's a wonderful person who is one of my best friend. And
nice.
And she's just fantastic. I don't know. I look forward to hearing the song so much because she's just fantastic. She heals people. She plays in hospitals, and she's got a fantastic big smile, and I have a deep-seated respect for her.
Fantastic. So this is Turn the Tide by Kitty Stewart.
Turn the Tide, thank you. Which one it was going to be, I was struggling. I didn't know what
there were so many, but we came up with Turn the Tide, which I think you very kindly put forward. So let's listen to this, and then you can tell me how it makes you feel. Thank you.
Thank you.
Time to turn the tide to solar and wind turbines, say no to gas and oil.
Yeah, what a brilliant song. A brilliant song. We could have done with playing that to world leaders at COP28, I tell you, last week. That would have hopefully shifted them along nicely. Kieran, you know, sadly, we are very much now at the last minute of our show. And I think you've been amazing. I think you're absolutely right that you and I could probably chat for lifetimes, let alone minutes. Is there anything that you would like to just leave with our listeners that you think could help them to engage in a more circular, cradle-to-cradle way? Any tips, any pointers, anything that you've found really, really worked for you and your friends, and just a bit of moments of inspiration?
Well, you know, thank you for offering that, actually, perfectly placed, because I've been thinking as we took our trip to infinity and weren't quite sure if we'd ever come back from that. We can get into, I'm from Glastonbury, and we can talk about metaphysical things for eternity and not actually sort of forget to take the recycling out. You know, because we were lost in deep thought and infinity. But there are actually some points I'd like to mention. And they come really from this Cradle to Cradle book. One of the closest things that I've seen to turning us into a Cradle to Cradle society, something which has the health of species, of all species of the children for all time at its heart. And they are kind of like the laws of sustainability, really, or that I try to term that the ultimate law of sustainability is to design cycles. And Camp Light is a cycle in that it's called a restorative business model, in that it takes something that's a pollutant and turns it into something useful. Of course, a real genuine circular economy, there is no such thing as waste, because waste has been designed out of the system. That's what nature's already done for the last 5 billion years. So waste equals food is the way that Michael Braungart and William McDonough describe the circular economy. Respect diversity is their second. Live on net solar gain, because all we have that comes onto this, into this planet, is actually the waves from the sun. And the ultimate message of this is abundance, huge abundance. We have an abundance of tents at Camp Light because we pick them up. There's so much waste from this Cradle to Grave system.
It's fantastic.
Abundance rather than scarcity. Yeah,
it's always nice to end on abundance. Thank you so much, Kieran. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. As you know, we come to the end of our hour. It's nearly 2 o'clock. We're not going to be able to play Save the World today, but I will remind you, for those of you that want to support Greta Thunberg's Fridays for Future, map her the most affected people and areas, then go to Spotify or any of your music download playlists. Put Save the World by Jarvis Smith on your playlist. Play it as many times as you can, and let's raise money for Napa.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.